This is the Ministers of the New Covenant radio broadcast. We come to you in the name of Yeshua the Messiah, the Son of the Most High Yahweh. Tune in each week to hear teachings directly from Scripture, focused upon believing in the Father, His Son, and the holy and righteous law of our Creator. At the end of this broadcast, we will give you the web address whereby you may contact us for further scriptural information.
Well, good evening. This is Brother Matthew, and I'm very excited to be with everybody here in Radio Land to talk about the important subject of husbands loving their wives. I've been talking about this for quite some time, and I've got more to share about a husband's relationship with his wife, and also in the future about a wife's relationship towards her husband. I'm going to pick up where I left off in the last lesson. If you did not listen to the last lesson, you can go to my website, listen for the contact info at the end of this broadcast, and you can look at the lesson titled Intimacy and Spiritual Duties. So, let's get back into it. Another thing that we need to remember as a righteous, spiritual, holy husband of our wife is that our wife should see us not desiring to commit adultery or fornication against her. Our wife should not have to worry about us sneaking around on her or holding back secrets from her. For instance, there's no need for you, husband, to have a private computer where only you can gain access to it and not your wife. That is ridiculous, if you ask me, for either spouse to have something like that going on in the home. That's just not a righteous thing. That's not a righteous marriage. The two, saith he, shall become one flesh, and you don't need to put your wife through that kind of agony, nor does a woman need to put her husband through that kind of agony. So don't give your wife the opportunity to even wonder if you are being faithful to her or not. Let her know that you're not interested in the world or in the women of the world. You're a man that is interested in living a holy and righteous life and in loving your wife fully. You know, I'm not one of those preachers that preach against the television set. If I did preach against it, I think I would have to preach against having a radio and a computer as well, because any of those items can be used to the glory of Yahweh, or they can be used for the destruction of the soul. So you can turn your radio to a station that glorifies the Maker of all things, or you can listen to a song that would delight the demons of hell. And the same can be said for the TV. You know, there is not much good that comes across the TV today, but I do enjoy watching some shows with my wife, I have to admit. Andy Griffith is my favorite show of all time, and my wife sometimes enjoys watching good mystery shows. And let me tell you, though, that most shows on television today should find no place in the home of the Christian. I was riding down the road the other day, and I saw a sign, a billboard sign, that was advertising, I guess, a new show on TV. But the name of the show, as it had this half-dressed man with this seductive woman beside him, the name of that show was Californication. Now, that is the biggest hint a Christian man could ever get that that is a show that he should never set his eyes on. I read that title and I thought, how could anybody be deceived with the title of a show containing the word fornication? That's a big no-no. And not all shows are that blatant, but most of them you could watch for 5 minutes and know whether or not you should be setting your eyes on that particular program. You know, sometimes you could be watching a show and all of a sudden a commercial comes on the TV, and it may have a woman that's scantily clothed. And husbands, your immediate reaction should be to change the channel on the television. You need to let your wife know that you're a spiritual man, and the only woman you desire to see that much of is her, your wife. There was one time when my wife and I were watching a show on television and a commercial came on, and it said something to the effect, I can't remember exactly, but it said something to the effect of, now we've got women in bikinis. And my response, literal response that I gave, was to pick up the remote and say, now we are not going to watch what you've got. And I switched the channel because there's no need for me to lay my eyes upon other women that are clothed in that way. That's filth. So my teachings, or the teaching here in this lesson, is not about the specificities of commandments. But what I want to do now is to take the opportunity to give us husbands an example to follow. Our wife should see that we are unwilling to violate the precepts of the Bible. She should know that you are unwavering in your stance, and you're even what sometimes people call a stickler when it comes to being obedient to the commandments of Yahweh. Now, sometimes us quote-unquote sticklers get scorned by the world, and at times even by professing Christians, but Yeshua taught us to even give great respect to the keeping of the least of the commandments. That's in Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. He says that doing so will cause us to be great in the kingdom of heaven. So, for instance, take the Sabbath. You know, you can break a small portion of the Sabbath, and you've still broken the entire Sabbath. You know, there's no need to jump the gun towards the end of the Sabbath and make a purchase too soon or begin cooking too soon. What will your wife really think of you as a spiritual leader if you just give in and you say, well, it's almost over anyway, we can go ahead and buy and sell and cook and clean? And you're breaking, you're violating the Sabbath. You're not being steadfast and taking a hard and fast stance on that biblical command given by the Almighty. It's been several years ago now, but my children play in a local softball league. It's a local Christian softball league. And I'm going to mention this just to give you an example. We homeschool our children, so they do not have a school sports system like I was accustomed to in both elementary and high school. I went to Christian school my entire life. I was blessed to have parents that never put me in public government school, and I'm very thankful that they didn't. I have chosen to homeschool my children, which I do believe is the best route to take to school your children. I don't have anything against certain sporting activities as long as sports are placed in their proper perspective. This means that if a sporting event is going to cause my child to violate the law of Yahweh, then it's out of the question. And it really shouldn't even be an option. I would never place my son in recreational baseball or something like that, because I know that the atmosphere is just not acceptable for a young Christian boy to be around. That might rub a lot of people the wrong way, but that's how I feel. I have been to rec ball games, and I have seen the idolization that goes on and the bad attitudes, and I'm just not interested in taking part in that. So when I considered this particular co-ed Christian softball league, I had to make it clear to my children that, number one, we'd have to check it out and see what the atmosphere was. And that was fine. It was great. It was really good, good Christian atmosphere. But there were also two other important standards that we would have to consider prior to signing up for a season of softball. And the first one was our clothing. We believe that both men and women should dress modestly, and we'd have to ask the league if this would be okay in light of the uniforms that they handed out. And that wasn't a problem. And I'm thankful because my children enjoy playing softball very, very much. And their dad enjoys watching them play as well. But the other standard that we had to consider was the Sabbath, what I talked about earlier. Now, I do not believe that my children should be out playing softball on Yahweh's Sabbath day, much less playing softball while a Sabbath meeting, that is a church meeting, is taking place. There was a period of time in my life where I got lax on that standard, and I allowed my children, even though it was on the Sabbath, I allowed my child to play a softball game on the Sabbath. It went on for a few weeks, and I felt the conviction of Yahweh come on my heart and my mind very strongly. And I went to my wife and I said, honey, I know that I okay this for these few weeks, but I have done wrong, I have sinned, and we need to go back to how we were doing things for years before. And praise Yahweh, since then we haven't had a problem. And when the Sabbath rolls around, my children just do not play the softball game, because Yahweh's Sabbath is more important than any game of softball. So I explained to my children that if a practice or a game ever takes place on the Sabbath, that we would not be participating. And they understood that. And the league even said that missing some practices or some games would not be a problem. But what this helped my children do is they recognized that church came first, because there are times, even recently, as I'm bringing forth this radio broadcast, in the recent past here, in this particular softball season in the fall, there have been times when we had to make a choice to either go to our Sabbath meeting at our local congregation or take my children to play their softball game. Well, it's not really even a choice, because the option is not there. We're not going to go to a softball game to miss the holy convocation of Almighty Yahweh. That's just major, major sin. So we're not going to do that. And what this lets my children know is that our priorities are with Yahweh. Now, I could just let these things slip. I could just continue to explain to my wife, well, you know what? It's just a ball game. What's it going to hurt to play on the Sabbath? Or, you know what? I could have told my wife, you know what, honey? The children can wear these type of clothes for ball, but they can dress modestly at other times. And maybe my wife would have been the strong one spiritually if I expressed feelings like that. But maybe she wouldn't have. She might have gone along with these feelings because it made it easier on her. And in that case, I, the husband, would be the reason for leading my wife into compromise in those areas. Men, don't compromise on Yahweh's standards. You say, Brother Matthew, have you ever compromised on Yahweh's standards? Yes, I have. I have before. I am a sinner, a human being just like any other man. But I'm encouraging you and myself right now as I speak not to compromise on Yahweh's standards. You need to make sure that your wife knows that you love Yahweh and that you want to lead your home by placing Yahweh first in everything that you do. Another thing, husbands, we're talking about spiritual duties here. Your wives should also see that you spend both quality and quantity time with the children. I get very angry when I hear Christian preachers say something like, well, I may not spend quantity time with my children, but I do spend quality time with them. Or I hear Christian parents say that ridiculous line that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Listen, quantity time is quality time. If you only have a few minutes a day for your children, that is a disgrace on you as a parent. Your children need you to spend all the time that you can with them. They are your children. You're supposed to teach them when they lay down and rise up, when you walk with them outside, or when you're sitting in the house. And you need to use every opportunity possible to instruct your children in the ways of Yahweh. Your wife needs to be married to a man that believes in child training. And the time that you spend with your children will be appreciated, not just by your children, but it will be appreciated by your wife. And it will let her know that you cherish your children. No woman wants to raise children by herself. No holy, righteous man will have children that are raised solely by their mother, much less by the government in government schools. See, spiritual children come from a spiritual father, and wicked children, when you see wicked children bearing forth fruits of Satan, they stem from wicked fathers whose lives are patterned after devotion to Satan rather than to Yahweh. So men, make time for family worship, home Bible studies. Don't wait until time to go to church and then put on some kind of spiritual cap and wear it for an hour or an hour and a half. We should not live our faith inside the four walls of a church. Our faith should be a way of life. Service to Yahweh is a lifestyle. Everything else is centered around Yahweh. Our children should not only sing hymns and songs of praise at the Sabbath meeting, they should be able to enjoy songs in their home during family worship. Family worship is something that sounds very strange to many today because it's just not done in most homes in America. And I'm talking about Christian homes. I talked with Christian parents before, even recently, and I mentioned about our family here doing family worship, and they say, huh, what does that mean? What does family worship mean? Well, listen, family worship is when you take time out every day to sit down, whether it be in around the table, the kitchen table, the living room, the bedroom, wherever you find yourself at, and you get the Bible out, and you teach your children the Bible. The way that we do it is we go through books of the Bible. I let my children pick the book that they would like to go through. Recently, we've covered the book of Esther. My daughter wanted to do the book of Esther. After my oldest daughter chose, my next oldest child, which is my son that's 13 years old, he chose to do the book of 1 Kings. And we actually do the book of 1 and 2 Kings, and that was wonderful. I really enjoyed that. After we got through with that recently, my third oldest child, my next son, who will be turning, I believe, 12 years old. I've got five children, so sometimes I forget exactly what age they are. I believe he's turning 12 here in November. He chose to go through the book of Daniel, and we're in the book of Daniel chapter 7 right now. And we've covered many other books in our family worship, like the book of Luke, the book of Ruth, so on and so forth. I can't remember. We haven't covered all of them, but we've covered a wide range of the Bible. And so we study through books of the Bible. I usually take a chapter each day, or sometimes less than a chapter, and I explain that to my children. And then I do something that's called catechize my children. And that means I have a list of questions that I ask my children, and they have patterned answers to give to those questions. For instance, I ask my children, "Children, what is sin?" And they say, "Sin is the transgression of Yahweh's law." Or I ask them, "Children, what does repentance mean?" And they say in unison, "To change your direction." Or I ask them, "Children, who is Yeshua?" And they answer in unison, "The Messiah, the Son of Yahweh." This is called catechizing your children, asking them questions, receiving answers. And we do this in a repetitious manner every day. I don't mean repetitious as ritualistic and not heartfelt, but we repeat these same questions over and over. Right now, I think I'm up to like 25 or 30 questions, and they give these answers, and it instills these biblical truths into their heart. We go through memory verses sometimes. For instance, my children know Exodus 21 through 17 by heart. They can say the entire Ten Commandments verbatim. That is a memory verse that we have dedicated to memorizing as a family. And sometimes we sing songs. This is family worship. This is what we should be doing, men, every day that we live, giving time to Yahweh. We don't put a time on our family worship. We don't say, well, this is a 30-minute block and we've got to start this time and stop at this time. No, we usually have family worship in the evenings, and we don't have a set time. Sometimes it goes 30 minutes. Sometimes we went for an hour. And it just depends on how long it takes me to get through the text that I'm talking about for that worship period. And I want you to know that when you begin to practice family worship, your life is going to change. You will feel rejuvenated spiritually. Your children will become more acquainted with biblical issues. And your wife will become more of a servant of Yahweh, because she's going to see that you desire to put effort into knowing more about the Creator, not just one day a week, but every single day that you live. See, a man that takes extra time out for Yahweh, that's a man that a woman will have no problem submitting to, brothers and sisters. Start family worship. Do not delay. Start it right away. Another spiritual act that we have to show towards our wives is to refrain from being bitter towards them. There's a passage about this in the New Testament in Colossians chapter 3, verse 19. That word bitter there in Colossians 3:19 in the Greek has the meaning of exactly what we think of when we say that word in English. It's bitter. It's not good to the taste. Puckers the lips. And sometimes our wife may say or do something not to our liking. And we have to address these times, we do, as the head of our household and take care of the situation. But we can choose to address these issues in bitterness, or we can choose to address them in love, with a soft answer or with harsh words. One good practice is to take a few seconds or more before speaking to your wife in these situations. And listen, I'm not the perfect man when it comes to this, because it is so easy to quickly say something that is harsh or in the wrong tone towards my wife. I've done it before, and I've made statements that I wish I could take back. And I would like it if my wife never would have heard me say such words. But once the words are out in the open, they're there. And words can wound. People are fooling themselves by believing that words do not hurt people. The scriptures teach that words can heal or wound, give life or death, turn away wrath or stir up anger. So we should let the law of kindness be on our tongue and treat our wife with words that are sweet, not words that are bitter. Because life and death is in the power of the tongue. The first epistle of Peter, chapter 3, verse 7, says this: Husbands, in the same way, live with your wives with understanding of their weaker nature, yet showing them honor as co-heirs of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. When we deal with our wife, we should not deal with her like we would our hunting or fishing buddy. Women are delicate, and they need to be treated delicately and thus differently than our friends that are men. Now, I've heard men say things to women that they could say to a man and it be no problem. But you say them to a woman and the tears begin to pour out. And the hate begins to form, and the bitterness begins to form in her heart because of something that you said toward her that you should not have. But you know what? I'm glad that Yahweh made women like this. Because as a man, I would not want to be married to a quote-unquote masculine woman. Don't even want to think about it. See, Peter is trying to teach us that we have to deal with our wives in a way that understands their weaker nature. And this shows them honor. And they should be honored. They're beautiful. The husband of the virtuous wife gives her praise, according to Proverbs 31, verse 28. And when we read scriptures like this, we think about standing up in church and telling everyone that we're thankful for our wife during a testimony service. And you know what? That can be a good thing. Don't get me wrong. That can be good. But what I'm speaking about, though, is praising and blessing her in the way we speak to her and treat her in our home, in a private manner. She's to be spoken to delicately, honoring her as the queen of the home. And as I preach these words to men across the globe tonight, I'm convicted, because even here recently, I feel like I have said things to my wife in ways that I never should have to start with. And I've asked her to forgive me, but this is something I need to work on, because sometimes I speak before I think, and it never turns out good. And I have to recognize that she is a delicate flower. And this brings me to touch upon the subject of abuse. A husband should never abuse his wife, physically or verbally. A wife does not need to be married to a man that comes home to use her for a punching bag. And in all honesty, my prayer is that Yahweh's vengeance would be poured out upon men that do so. What in the world does it prove? Do men actually think that it makes them more masculine by beating up on the weaker vessel? To me, I would think of such a man as being weak himself. And the same goes for verbal abuse. You know, women should be spoken to kindly and gently. A woman should not have to listen to a man spout off to her of all her shortcomings day in and day out. That's just as wrong as physical abuse. And I once heard a brother in the church I attend. He talked about making deposits and withdrawals in a spiritual sense. And men need to realize that they should not make constant withdrawals on their wives without making deposits. We should deposit words of thanks, praise, blessing, love, etc. towards our wife. And then when a situation arises where we need to discuss a serious matter with her, a withdrawal will not hurt her heart. She'll respect you because you treat her with honor and respect. You recognize, as Peter says, she is a co-heir with you of the grace of life. And she is just as much a child of Yahweh as you are. You're not more saved than her because you're a man. And Galatians 3:28 says that there is neither male nor female in the Messiah. In Deuteronomy 16, or later on in the book of Deuteronomy, I think it's right around chapter 33 or 32, it talks about that at the feast days, it wasn't just the men that listened to the reading of the Torah. It was also the women and the children. See, this means that salvation extends to the husband and the wife, not just one or the other. You know, Peter also teaches another good lesson for all us husbands. If we do not follow the admonition that he gives, our prayers will be hindered. See, prayer is a powerful tool that Yahweh has blessed his people with. And the Bible even tells us that the effectual and the fervent prayer of a righteous man has much avail, according to James 5:16. The Bible says that the righteous cry out, and Yahweh hears them, and he delivers them from their trouble in Psalm 34. But the key is that when we as husbands are out of tune with our wives, we're not acting righteously. And at these times, we cannot expect Yahweh to answer our prayers when we are not in unity with our beloved wife. Brothers, what if a problem occurs and prayer must be made at a specific moment in time? Did you fuss with your wife that morning? Did you speak harshly to her and leave the house without asking her forgiveness? Were you bitter towards her when she asked a favor of you? How in the world will your prayer avail? See, a dire relationship with your wife yields a hindered relationship with Yahweh. Now, I want you to think back on what I've covered in this lesson and also in the last lesson, where we've covered the spiritual duties of the husband. I want you to go back and listen to them again. I'm going to put this one up on my website, and the last one is up there too. You can look for it. Husbands, Love Your Wives is the name of the sermon series. Yahweh Father is looking for husbands that lead their homes with spiritual armor. He's looking for husbands who lead their wives into a relationship of holiness and sanctity, set apartness. And I'm sure you would love for your wife to have such attributes. And you know what? You hold the key in your hand. Now, I don't speak of some type of magical power that you've got. But the key is that you've got the scriptures, and if you follow them, she'll submit. We've covered the scriptures. We've covered the spiritual duties of the husband. But it is your job to believe them and to obey them. And then I guarantee you, you will see the fruit of righteous obedience to the Creator.
You've been listening to the Ministers of the New Covenant radio broadcast. Our website is ministersnewcovenant.org. That's ministersnewcovenant.org. Please visit our website where you will find hundreds of audio sermons as well as videos, books, and articles explaining various doctrines in the scriptural faith. For questions, you can also call 678-347-6240. That's 678-347-6240. Thanks for listening, and according to His will, may Yahweh richly bless.